Christian, I'm back. Hi.
I've missed you so much. Honestly, if I've learned one thing from steering this ship alone, you know, toward the iceberg, is I need you to be by my side.
Oh, stop it. You were great. It was so good just being a listener last week. I listened to my hotel room on Friday morning in New York, and I loved it. You guys did great. And thank you, Nathan, for stepping in and doing such a great job.
It was nice to have some company. But yes, I did miss your dulcet tones.
Oh,
I'm sure people out there did too. Fewer people listened to it last week than they did previous week, so I'm furious.
Oh, really?
I think so. I looked at the figures.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, it's great to be back, and it's great to be back chatting about Kylie. But, oh my God, I have to say, because the Finogues in New York, I don't know how you do it, because New York is so expensive.
Mm.
Like, it's like I've come back fat and broke. And, like, literally, I was talking to one of the bar owners in some bar in Washington Square Park. And he's saying that because of COVID, that basically all of the restaurants and bars in New York have placed like $3 on top of items to comb back from COVID. So like it was nuts. It was so expensive, but I had such a great time. I went to theater. I ate loads, drank loads.
What did you see over there?
Little Shop of Horrors off Broadway with Jeremy Jordan in it. Not the right kind of love 90s Jeremy Jordan, which is amazing.
This is the first name that people would go to, that one.
Yeah, but the guy from Supergirl and a few other things. And then I went and saw Dear Evan Hansen, which was the reopening night on Broadway.
Is that good musical?
Christian, but they basically nearly had to carry me out of that theatre because I was a wreck, an absolute wreck.
In a sentence, because I don't really know what it is. I know one of the songs, because Dr. Ram sang it at his show once, and it was quite a nice song. What's it about?
Mental health. That's all I'm going to say. You need to go and see it. It's so good, and I recommend anyone out there going to see it. Which made me think when I was sitting there, we totally need this Kylie musical.
Yes, we do. I would love that. But it has to be a good story. I don't think it should be about Kylie or anything like that. It should be her
like
song.
Like a Mamma Mia kind of musical.
Yeah, well, maybe not like that because that's terrible. I mean, I love it, but it's really badly written and it's
a
terrible story. But, you know, a bit like Last Christmas.
Yeah, I'll tell you, maybe, but it needs to steer away from that horrendous car crash that was Viva Forever, that Spice Girls musical. Did you see that?
I didn't, but I remember watching the special documentary about it. And let's not forget, that was also written by that awful, produced by that awful witch who did Mamma Mia. And it was basically the same story, wasn't it? Another silly story about being a mother. Oh,
it was so awful, so awful. But anyway, yes, I really, really want this Kylie musical to happen. So hopefully in 2022, if the Omicron virus doesn't kill us all, we'll be able to have the Kylie musical, hopefully.
So, we've got a Cooking in a Waterman one coming up at some point.
If
Mike Stock ever approves the storyline.
He should though, right?
He needs to do it quickly before we've all carked it. Actually, when you were in New York, did you go to any of the bars or clubs and hear any Kylie? Or was it a Kylie-free zone?
It was a Kylie-free zone. I even went I went to a record store and I was looking for like, you know, bespoke US versions of vinyls and stuff, but I have them all that I've seen. But I did see the three vinyl edition of Disco, but I didn't buy it because I've got them coming because, you know, they've delayed the vinyl because of issues with the pressing, which also, because I went and saw West Side Story in New York, the film, and I was obsessed with it. And I went to Borders or like a version of Borders and I asked for the vinyl. He's like, because there's a massive backlog, because the popularity of vinyl surged, right? Everyone wants vinyls now. The production facilities can't keep up. So the West Side Story vinyl has been pushed back to February next year. So that's why there's all these delays with Kylie's Disco box set, which was supposed to come out in December. Now it's been pushed back to January because of the manufacturing is limited because everyone else wants vinyls, which is it's exciting to see.
It is amazing. Let's hope they do that with magazines one day because I see magazines are as old hat as vinyl. So maybe one day they'll come back into
totally fashion. Totally. But anyway, let's look at Kylie and what's been happening in the word is out. What's in the news this week? So a couple of weeks back, she was like mentioned that she was going to be playing a bush pig, which really made me laugh. So she's landed a really sassy role in a Netflix film, Back to the Outback, where she plays an animated bush pig. She said on social media, "Well, this is a first. Excited to share with you Susan, the bush pig. Super fun cameo in the new Netflix animated film, Back to the Outback. Loved it. You can meet all the wonderful characters in Back to the Outback on Netflix today." Who would ever thought Kylie would be playing Susan, the bush pig?
What did she put off that role? Have you, it's available, right?
Yes, I've not had a chance to watch it because I've just been busy with work and since getting back. But I probably will watch it on the weekend.
Yeah, I wonder how she prepared for the role.
Well, the description of the movie reads, tired of being locked down in a reptile house where the humans gawk at them while they are monsters. Like they are monsters, a ragtag group of Australia's deadliest creatures plot a daring escape from their zoo to the outback, a place where they'll fit in without being judged for their scales and fangs. And this film has Isla Fisher, Guy Pearce, and Tim Minchin also in the
Australian cast. Then.
And it's also, you know, it's going to be good because, you know, I'm a little bit biased, but Australian films are incredible. Mm. Like Picnic at Hanging Rock, Lantana, Muriel's Wedding-ish, even though I didn't really like it, Priscilla in the Desert. You know, we've been really good at doing films. So obviously this is going to be as highbrow as Picnic at Hanging Rock, I think, as well.
No, I think so, yeah, especially with Susan the Bush. I can't wait to see her performance. I haven't looked at any of this information. So was there a flash-up of a picture of Susan? Does it look like Kylie? Yeah,
there was a flash-up picture of Susan, and it sadly does not look like Kylie. She looks like a Bush pig.
All right, okay.
I was expecting it to look like Kylie in the Kiss of Life video, but no, it sadly didn't. I still can't get over how bad she looked in that video, Christian. Terrible. Comedy. Absolutely terrible.
Comedy.
No. And also, in other news, Santa Baby goes platinum for Kylie.
This is amazing. This song lingers. It's like a bad fart, isn't it? It just kind of it's been going for years.
But it's going to go until long after we're dead, because literally people are still going to be cranking out the classics Christmas tunes. And this now, a Kylie classic Christmas tune that, you know, every year it shoots up the top of the streaming charts.
It seems like it's more popular than the Kids' original version because, I don't really hear that version very often. And Kylie's one seems to always be the go-to, which is kind of weird. I don't really associate it with her, even though I know she released it on Christmas. I still don't really associate it with Kylie.
Really?
Yeah, I would never think, oh, I'm going to get that version of Santa Baby and think of Kylie. Maybe because I'm so old, I think of Eartha Kitt.
Yeah, so you meant there's Eartha Kitt. Mariah's released a version, Madonna's released a version, Ariana's released a version, Gwen Stefani's released a version. And, you know, it's never made the top 40. It missed a few times. Even Eartha Kitt, I think, went to number 58. But Kylie's in 2007 went to number 38, and this became Kylie's 50th. What did I say?
Seven.
Oh, 2017, sorry. Becoming Kylie's 50th top 40 hit.
Oh, well, there you go.
And that's a milestone.
Very well. She's got her voice suits the music really, really well. So I can see why. And she's kept it in its original style. So, I mean, it is a very good version. And I have recently put onto my Christmas playlist, along with some lovely songs by Kelly Clarkson, by the way.
She's just released a Christmas album, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The new one was from a couple of years ago, but there's a song on it, which the title of which eludes me right now. But it's a very good album. And also, I'm going to have to quickly say for Christmas, I love the Elton John and Ed Sheeran song. And I don't like Ed Sheeran normally. But the Christmas song they've done together is joyous.
I need to listen to it.
Oh, you need to. The chorus is sensational. It's got all my chords in it. I cried when I listened to it. I've been having it playing it on repeat.
All right, I'll check it out.
And I'm kind of a bit angry with Kylie because she's been around and she's not pushing her Christmas album or doing anything. She should have done her Christmas show this year.
It's tricky everyone in the current one. Climate, though. It's really tricky.
Everyone's doing one.
I don't know, but now it's not. I don't know.
She could have re-released that album with a new song on it. That's what she, it feels like she's kind of
No, she's not releasing any more albums and putting new songs on it. Ugh. No, and we'll have another disco fiasco.
No. Oh, have you downloaded your digital versions of the extended album?
Yes, I have. And I love it. It's been played on repeat.
Yeah, I still love them. I love those new versions.
Yeah, it is good. But let's hope this is the last time this happens. And we just want new music. And also, she is back in the studio.
Yes, she is doing new music. That could be a worry, because didn't she say she wanted to do electropop again? Which, who knows what that means in this day and age?
Yeah, I'm all for it anyway.
But well, I trust her to make the right decisions now. I think she's aware of the mistake she's made, you know, Kiss Me Once.
But I also hope it's still a personal album. I want a more reflective Kylie after the juggernaut that was Disco. I kind of would like a little bit more of, you know, golden, impossible princessy kind of reflection.
I want it to be, Kylie's best when she's a party queen.
Yes.
I don't want it to be too scratching her head and thinking too much.
Sing and dance.
you know, that's what she's best at. That's what makes us happy. I mean, she's the light in our lives when we're feeling down and low, and we're, you know, like in the past year or so, you know, it was the expectation of the disco album that kept us all alive. And then when we heard it, we were dancing through COVID.
Yeah, you're right. I suppose, yeah, you're probably right, but we probably need another disco. Well, we need another banger album before we go reflective, because we'll all just top ourselves.
Yeah, like two up, then one down.
Yes, perfect. She's obviously been, she had an award awarded to her this time, right?
Well, again, it's one of something that you're probably interested in, but she was inducted into the Music Victoria's Hall of Fame. Does that make sense?
I have no idea. I've not heard of this.
Oh, well, I'm going to read this out. It says, the homegrown star who received an Order of Australia in 2019 accepted her induction via a video message. She thanked Music Victoria. What is this? For this incredible recognition and pay tribute to the evening's award winners and nominees gathered at the Melbourne Recital Centre. Sounds like an old people's home. This is extra special to me, as this is my hometown, the one place where my musical journey began back in 1987 when Mushroom released my first single, The Locomotion. You know what I think about that.
And it's amazing.
Yeah, but that's nice. She's won an award.
Victoria is her home state.
Victoria's a state, right?
Yeah, Victoria's a state, yes, because Melbourne is the capital of Victoria. So it seems fitting that she would, I feel this is like 20 years too late. They should have done this years and years ago. Why now?
Mm. And do you think it's because she's coming home?
Maybe. She's probably going to get the keys to the city or something. Also, Kylie, I just have to say, she's posted these pics on Instagram. She's looking absolutely stunning. Literally, she posted this photo this week about her with her and Stella McCartney outfit. Stunning. You know, she's dressing age appropriate and she is looking fabulous, I have to say.
Yeah, and also I like her fringe. I think her fringe is helping. It's a really nice look. She looks really young. She doesn't look like she's 53 or whatever it is. She looks very good.
Should we go and step back in time, see what's been released in the annals of history?
Here's my seat.
The weakest song off Christian's favourite album, Light Years, was released this week on the 15th of December 2000. This is Please Stay. It went to number 10 in the UK, number 15 in Australia. Christian, what are your thoughts? Remind me.
But of course, I mean, as a song in its own right, it's not too bad a song. It's got that Latino vibe. And, you know, in normal terms, it would have been quite a good song. But obviously, it was the song that was chosen over the song that I loved. And I was furious about it. So
Disco Need You, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because, yeah, that song should have been the Christmas single.
A lot of people were also hoping for Butterfly as well.
Yeah, but I think that would have been a bit too clubby for Christmas. But I always thought Disco Need You would have been a good office party song, as opposed to Please Stay. That was all summery and set in it was released in the winter. She said something recently in an old interview where she said, oh, yes, it's a Latino song. At winter, and so I think even she saw the madness of it. But as we know, that record can be like Miles Leonard, was it from Miles Leonard, or was that writer of Madonna? That's called
Pat Leonard. Pat Leonard is the writer of Madonna.
I think it's Miles Leonard. Forgive me if I'm incorrect. But he was the one who decided that not to release Disco Needs because it would make her too gay, which is obviously absurd when you look at her crowd. And then they decided to release Please Stay, which was a really nice video. Which was a really nice song, had a really nice video. I love the Batman pole she slides down. Again, it was one of those videos that doesn't really make sense. I didn't really understand what it was about, but it was, you know, it was good.
Did this song come out before Madonna's music? Because the styling is just in the cowboy outfits, the plaid, like, you know, the cowboy dancers, the cowboy bar. I wonder if that was just piggybacking on that kind of fashion trend that Madonna started with music.
Was music out in 90?
99, maybe, from memory. So that's, I have no idea. Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm sure Madonna had already been wearing her hoedown outfits.
Yeah, this song from when I heard it, I was, but again, you know, I'm not a massive fan of the album, but when I heard this one, I was just like, oof, I don't know. It didn't seem like an obvious choice to me for a single. I would have much preferred, as you mentioned, Your Disco Need You, or, you know, even Butterfly. But the song was written by Biff Stannard,
Imagine if we had a Sliding Doors moment and Your Disco Need You had been released. What do you think? How do you think her career would have changed?
I don't think it would have changed that much.
You think it would have been a hit?
I think it would have been a hit, but I don't think it would have changed that much. No. I think, you know, the gays would have still bought the album. I don't think it would have, you know, it wouldn't have been a can't get you out of my head moment.
I just would have loved to have seen the performances. I think we were kind of robbed of those. I know she's done them since. I mean, as I always say, it's like that. It's the song I love so much, and yet so few people really know it. And then when you do hear it, sometimes in moments, like I remember there was a time on Celebrity Juice, they used it in the background, and I got very excited because I thought, God, there must be some gay working on that show to put that song on. And I remember one of my friend Clodagh, she used to produce, or she was on some TV show, I think it was Comic Relief Let's Dance, and the presenters came out to the strains of your disco and EG, and I remember crying. It was Saturday Night Peak time. I loved it.
Amazing. Anyway,
moving on, Biff Stannard wrote it, you say?
Yes. So he obviously worked with Gabrielle, Gary Barlow, and Spice Girls, which I think this song sounds a bit Spice Girly.
Mm. I do like it. So it is nice. Mm. It's really, it's quite a lightweight anodyne production, I have to admit, but it's a good song.
It's an album track, it's not a single.
Maybe. I would have liked the single version to have been maybe given a bit of a remix, just to make it a bit easier. There was a Metro mix that was on, I think maybe on one of the album, on the deluxe album of that, and that had a chunkier bass, but I think I would have liked more strings and a bigger sound, especially for Christmas, with some bells on it at least. But yeah, they could have actually taken the release, they could have taken the Latino guitars off and put maybe bells on.
Yeah. So on the 15th of December 1988, we had It's No Secret released, but then pulled from release. Okay. So this was originally planned as the last single from the Kylie Addy Ad album, but was scrapped for Especially For You. So it was released in the US as her third single and broke the Billboard 100 Top 40, peaking at number 37. So they did some limited pressings of the vinyl in Australia on Mushroom. I think I mentioned this before, but they are like the holy grail of Kylie memorabilia. Like, they go for so much money on eBay. So if you fans out there have them, keep hold of it or send one to me if you have a spare. But literally, it is so, so rare. The song went to top five in Japan and spent 13 weeks on the US Billboard 100 charts, which is interesting because it's really not a great song. Good video, but not a great song.
Yeah, I don't know how it would have worked over here because it would have been a bit of a lackluster fourth single, I think. Because it doesn't sound right.
It sounds too much like Je ne sais pas pourquoi. Like, they sound the same song.
It's in the same vibe. And I mean, Je ne sais pas pourquoi was a little bit odd for me as well, because it wasn't particularly Stock Aitken Waterman. And it was a slightly different sound that I found quite surprising as a release. I mean, obviously, I would have gone for the song that is my other missed opportunity, Turn It to Love. I think that was an amazing song. But then, you know, we had to have the Especially For You, and you couldn't ask for more.
The video, so I grew up in North Queensland in Australia, and the video was actually shot in Port Douglas in North Queensland, which is probably around about a 3-hour drive from my house. So every time I do see that video, I still watch it today, even though I don't really like the song, and it still reminds me of home, especially now since I can't get home.
Oh, that's lovely. Well, in my pre-homosexual days, I remember the scene where she walks up to the outside of that hotel or building or the house, and she's wearing that long dress, and and I hate to be a cliche, but her bottom looks so full in her dress. And I think I fooled myself into thinking I was attracted to it.
Did you explore yourself sexually with that image?
No, I was tickled.
There's one thing that really irks me about this video. Now, in the prelude, which is amazing, you know, she's serving, her boyfriend's asking for $20, and it's fun seeing the old Australian $20 note. But there's a really bad cut in it. So if you look at it, like, she basically turns around and it looks like they had a work experience person editing this video. And it's a really jarring cut where she throws the tea towel at him. I don't know. It just really, really bugs me that it doesn't feel polished or finished enough. And that's the only part that really is not great on the video. The rest is fine, I think. Have you not noticed it?
No, I haven't really watched the video that often.
Oh my God, watch it and let me know what you think, because it might be just seriously my OCD, but like literally that thing really bugs me. The editing is as bad as we edit on this show, so you can really tell.
Oh, I'm curious. I'll have to look at it and I'll let you know what I think.
Yes, do. So should we go to our Finogue?
Oh, let's please.
So a little bit of a warning. So this was recorded a few weeks ago. So it refers to the extended vinyl editions just being released. So just a bit of a caveat there. But please, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Vicken. Hi, Vicken.
Hello there. Good to speak to you.
You too. Lovely to meet you.
A lovely unusual name. Very unusual.
It's Armenian, yeah. Born and bred here, but both my parents are Armenian, yes.
Lovely name. Very nice.
Thank you.
So, Vicken, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you discovered the joys of Kylie, and yeah, over to you.
Okay, I'm probably a bit older than your average Kylie fan. I don't know, actually, maybe not. I got into music back in the very, very late 70s. Love of disco, funnily enough. Donna Summer is my sort of first diva, my first love. And through that, I suppose it was inevitable that I would get into the world of stock kicking Waterman, you know, in the sort of early mid 80s and all the high energy stuff they did. And then, of course, I was watching Neighbours, going to college or whatever. Found out that obviously a certain person was involved in Neighbours. I was trying to think, actually, was in England, did we get Kylie on Neighbours before the music? Or was it the other way around?
It was here already, and then the songs came.
So that's obviously because I knew about her being on the TV, and I think I'd heard about the success in Australia already. Mm. And with Stock Aitken Waterman connection, it was inevitable that I would be a fan, I think. Mm. it's a day one fan, really, I think, pretty much.
So Donna Summer, you said, was your first love, and we can see a signed photo behind you of Donna Summer. What is it about the kind of music and you know, that kind of sensibility of disco music that really resonates with you?
It's all the things that you guys, I think, have said in the past. It's the sort of escapism, I suppose, you know, growing up gay, not really knowing, especially in those days when it was really hard to, there's no interaction with any other groups. There's nothing online that I could look into. So I really thought I was the only person in the world who felt this way. And she was my escapism into this sort of fantasy, wonderful world, the glamorous and happy and, yeah, that kind of thing, really. And then I realised over the years that Donna had a massive legion of gay fans just like Kylie, really.
Yeah. So with the Donna Summer, I mean, obviously she had so many wonderful songs, but did you like the disco sound in general? So was she, you like all the other disco artists at the time?
A lot of them. Yeah. I like quite a lot of disco. I like Diana Ross as well. And of course, my main favourite era is the sort of late 70s disco era as well. So yeah, it's all that feeling. I think it's the sort of diva, isn't it? It's the glamorous, like I say, escapism, fabulousness of them all.
What did you think of Diana Ross's latest album? Did you like it?
Yeah, I've only just started listening to it because I've tried to sort of pace myself with it. Considering her age, her voice is incredible.
Oh my God, she sounds amazing.
Yeah. Other divas of sort of that age, you know, have lost their voices pretty much, so I think she sounds so good. I'm just taking my time to get used to it. It's quite syrupy, and the lyrics are quite sugary, aren't they?
Yeah,
but I do like the dancey stuff, and the production is so well done. You know, they've obviously really taken the time to think about the album and plan it and put her with good people, and it's done really well, hasn't it? I think this week,
yeah, it has. And I was just, you know, just a little bit, we'll get on to Kylie soon, but I think it's so interesting talking about these other disco divas. I was expecting, now that we've had this resurgence of disco with Kylie and Jesse and a few kind of artists are really embracing.
Yeah,
the disco sound, that the new Diana Ross album wasn't a disco banger. I was quite surprised. I was expecting it to be, but it's a good listen.
She's got I was actually going through it sort of individually the other day, and there's more danceable stuff on it than I expected. And of course, there's already remixes of a couple of the singles, but she's always been equally known for her big ballads as well. So I think she couldn't just leave those behind. You know, that's a big part of her success, especially in this country. She's had lots of ballad hits.
One more thing on Donna Ross.
Yeah.
One of her finest moments, I think, is the made-for-TV movie she did with Brandy called Double Platinum.
Yes. Yes.
What literally, when it's a Christmas favorite of mine. Every year I sit down and watch it. I mean, it's incredible. People out there, if you've not seen it, Double Platinum, Donna Ross and Brandy, it will change your life.
I think so.
Okay.
I think I got through it basically.
One last Donna Ross. Did you like the remix album she had out a couple of years ago, the Eric Cooper one?
Yes.
I love that album.
He's done a couple of the remixes of the singles of the new album, so it's brilliant.
I think he's brilliant because he really brought some of those songs back to, not that they needed being brought back to life, but he gave them a real, I say fresh, I mean they were slightly dated sounding, but I just thought they were perfect productions.
Fresh, but without losing the sort of integrity of the original song as well, absolutely.
And the Boss, I love the Boss, that version.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, amazing. Anyway.
Yes.
Forget about Diana. But on that 70s tip, because obviously when you think of the 70s disco, you think of all those kind of divas. Kylie's disco has got that very authentic sound on disco, as opposed to like Light Years, which was like pop disco.
Yeah.
Disco has that kind of 70s feel. And I don't know if you've had extended versions yet, because...
No, my vinyl copy arrived yesterday. I don't have an actual record player that works. I'm desperate to hear the long versions. I want someone to post the download.
I literally just heard it very recently this morning. Yeah. And the songs are completely different. They've changed, but they've got this truly authentic 70s disco sound, which is,
I can't wait,
the kind of thing we said a year ago when we kind of like poo-pooed the album a little bit to start with. The one thing I said at the time was it felt I was wanting those 70s those disco songs to have that long intro and then the outro, because it just felt like it needed the big sound, and this is what they got. And why they've not released it as the guest list version itself.
Oh, I know. Do you think a digital version might be due before Christmas or something? I'm sure there's an opportunity there, isn't there?
Yeah. So when you heard disco, you must have been in your element.
Absolutely. When I heard that she was doing disco, I was thinking this is brilliant, because she's always referenced disco right through her career, and she has referenced Donna Summer in the past. And obviously she did a version of I Feel Love on the Fever tour. And Light Years sounds like I Feel Love. So it's always been there. And she always, I think, did she not do a demo tape very first with four songs in it? And one of them was something like Dim All the Lights, which is a Donna Summer song.
Yeah,
it's incredibly hard to sing.
Yeah,
I would love to have heard that, because that's a quite hard song to sing. So, you know, I think good for her. So, yeah, absolutely. So I was really excited when she did it. And you're probably going to talk about Say Something, but when Say Something first came out, I was thinking, this isn't disco. It's sort of 80s maybe. And I was thinking, oh God, is this not going to be what it says on the tin? Because with a label as blunt as disco, it has to be disco.
But then remember when they followed the Say Something with the acoustic version of Say Something? I was just like, what the hell is going on? This is not disco. They should,
like, how many acoustic versions of Say Something? Because she did them on TV and she did them on that EP that came out. And I was thinking, okay, I love the song, but you know.
we need disco. Yeah, and she did deliver, because the album is one, you know, as I said it before, one of my favorites.
I was a bit like you guys when I first heard it. I was thinking, oh, I'm really not sure about this. And then, of course, it came out just before the sort of lockdown here in England again. And we are sort of replaced our gym going with going out on bikes sort of two or three times a week, doing quite long routes to get some exercise. And so was just like, yeah.
Especially you, maybe. I didn't.
I had to keep sane, to be honest. And disco was just every week I listened to it two or three times on my bike ride. So it just, every time I think, hear the songs now, I think of where we go on the routes. And I really got to know, you know, the album inside and out. And and I think the best songs haven't been released as singles. As you probably always say that as well. But things like Last Chance is probably my favourite song. And Where Does the DJ Go? I just love those so much. They're just so uplifting. And I think, to me, they're the classic disco sounds. Yeah. And the Last Chance chorus bit sounds a bit like an ABBA. Voulez-vous? That bit, yeah.
I kind of wish she'd sampled a few. Like I said this before about Real Groove, because it's got the chords of I Will Survive, and Robbie Williams had that kind of string bit from I Will Survive in
Supreme. Yes.
I would have had a version where she had that bit, and I'm so shocked that she recorded with Gloria Gaynor, didn't even throw her onto. They could have done a mashup of those two songs.
That song is so not disco at all, isn't it? I don't know about you, but it's not. It doesn't sound like it to me. I've not heard it many times yet, but
it's not. But there are elements. It's like this low key disco, isn't it? It's like,
I love it.
But this remix album, if they've got some really, really credible, like these current disco remixes, like Dimitri from Paris, to remix Kylie's album, it would have been phenomenal, because that would have really brought the credible factor.
Well, were you a little bit disappointed with the disco guest list edition when it was announced that we were getting this and we only found out it was three new songs and a couple of remixes?
Your reaction was hilarious when I heard it on the podcast. That's exactly how I felt. I was thinking, oh my God, I can't believe this. And I actually had a naughty download of the Infinite Disco audio. So I had that as well. And then I sort of got over it a bit. And then having received it in the post yesterday, the audio for the Infinite Disco is fantastic. It's light years better than the quality of the download I had. And to be honest, the box set is worth it just for the audio of Infinite Disco on its own. I was a bit disappointed, I suppose, that there weren't more new songs on it. I'm growing to love it, I think. And the choice of the tracks and the remixes is great. And I like the fact they put both of the Dua Lipa mixes on there. Initial Talk. Fantastic. I was hoping for a long version of that. I'm going to love it, definitely. I love the Jesse song as well. I really love
it. Three songs. Obviously, we heard them one by one. So what did you make of the Years and Years one? Because I thought that was kind of very PWL Kylie, but I loved it. And there's a, I don't know if you've heard the Sagra, what the,
oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
And I'd love that to be a proper release because it's, it makes the song sound even more exuberant. I just love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that's taken me some time to grow on me as well, but I was listening to it quite a lot yesterday and I do really like it. I love it. Her voice is a bit odd in it. It's a bit sort of nasally at one point, and I'm thinking, I can't quite work that out, but I do love it.
Well, it's probably her kitchen studio. She's, you know, singing through a saucepan or whatever she's doing.
The Kieran paid for.
Yeah, literally, with everything else I bought of hers. Like,
I love it when you list all the things you bought. It's amazing. I tried to limit myself to just one or two of each, really. But yeah.
It's all you need. It's all you need. Did you catch the Jonathan Ross performance with Jessie Ware?
Not yet. No, we were out, funny enough, seeing Steps and Sophie Ellis Bexter on Friday night.
No, I was in Manchester. Are you in Manchester?
Yes, I'm in Manchester, yeah.
I went up to Manchester to see it.
Oh, no, you were there.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? Sorry.
Fantastic.
I was saying to Kieran how, I will get back to Kylie, but I thought the 60s version of After the Love Has Gone was absolutely brilliant.
And the version of 5678 with the Groovers in the Heart, it was fantastic.
And I like the Vogue, the name text.
Oh, the main checks were brilliant. It was so clever. Yeah. Whoever wrote that was inspired.
Involved in it. He did it all. Because I also loved Heartbeat. I thought it was really beautiful, the version of it. And I want that. I want to hear those versions recorded.
I hope they released the concert. Yeah.
They were brilliant, weren't they?
And their singing is so good. That's what I like about them. It's fantastic. All the,
she wasn't whispering all the way through it.
No, bless her. No, they were really good. And Sophie Ellis Bexter at the beginning, she had no projections, no dancers, no nothing, and she just carried it off all on her own. And she was
very
so
eccentric.
Good.
I thought she didn't play the audience really well. But I was gutted. No Heartbreak Made Me a Dancer and No Bittersweet, and they're my two favourite Sophie songs.
Right.
She didn't sing them. I was furious.
It was quite short, her bit, but that's
it. Yeah. But anyway,
back to Kylie. Which would be your least favourite Kylie album?
Ooh, I love this now because I kept telling my friend, we were out for dinner with friends last night and they were saying about being on this and they're like, I said, yeah, but I'm not your sort of typical diehard fan, you know. I said, oh, that's good, you should say that, you know. I have to say it's probably Impossible Princess. Ooh, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I just never got into it and I really need to listen to it again. When we saw her on the Anti-Tour and she did one of the album tracks from it, quite a sort of boppy 60s sounding one. And I thought, oh, I really like that song and I can't, I need to go back and revisit it. I love the remixes of You Did It Again, Razor and Go. There's like a really long 9 or 10 minute remix, which is completely over the top, which I really like.
But did they keep the melody and the chords? Or
absolutely. It's a whole song in it. It's just got this really outrageous, high energy type backing track to it with big orchestral stab. Razor and Go or Razor and Guido, R-A-Z-O-R, I think it is. They've done a few other people's mixes as well. I think it was on the official CD single.
Oh, God, I need to listen back.
And the remix of, is it Sash remixes of Breathe was good? I like that. But that's about it, I'm afraid. So I'm typical Kylie fan, so I don't really like it when she goes off track too much.
Did you like the 94 album?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Now, right. I used to quite like M People when they were cool and trendy. And so when she signed with Deconstruction, I thought, wow, she's going to be making this really fantastic quality, soulful dance music. And the album, it's patchy, but I went back to, after listening to your podcast about it, I went back to listen to it again and I thought, her singing is absolutely incredible on that album.
Flawless.
It's so clear and unprocessed and unproduced and multi-tracked. It's amazing. And, you know, you've talked about Confide in Me before and it's just a masterpiece from beginning to end, that song.
And what did you think of the M People's songs? Did you like M People?
Yes, I know what you're going to say. I really loved it at first because I thought it's quite a nice, happy, boppy track, where some of the other tracks are a bit R&B and a bit heavy, but it is a bit flimsy, isn't it? Bless her.
I think you're right. At the time, because it was such an album that I didn't want to originally, because it was, aside from Confide in Me, I loved that, but I didn't like the other songs. And I think that was the closest I had to a pop song at the end, and I kind of liked it to start with. But now as I, you know, maybe 20 years down, whatever, well, what would be 20 years down the line?
Well,
26 years, 27. I realise how irritating it is. It's such a horrible sound. But then
it's flimsy, isn't it? Production-wise, it's thin.
The M People sound didn't really age very well.
No.
But it was brilliant at the time. I loved it.
Yeah.
Open up your heart. Open your heart.
So you mentioned that you like Kylie in kind of one lane. You don't kind of like when she veers off. So what are your thoughts in terms of like Golden and these albums where kind of she's having this a little bit of experimental phase?
I respect her for doing Golden, and I think as an album, it's one of the most consistent sounding albums that she's done. And the imagery and the photography to go with it, the whole thing was brilliantly put together, and she looks so good. And I got the super deluxe edition of it eventually. But yeah, I just the twangy thing's a bit too much for me. I think the songs in there are fantastic. I think, as it Christian said a few times, that it's a bit almost too much done. It's like, we're going to do country, we're really going to do country, and they put the twangy guitars and everything. And I think if they stripped some of those back a bit, it would reveal the songs to be so good. Mm. But things like Stop Me From Falling, I really loved. Dancing, I really loved. There's that Initial Talk remix of that as well, isn't there? Which is really good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
What would you think she should do next after Disco?
That's a good question. Like you guys, I said, I wouldn't mind her doing some more disco and going a bit deeper into disco and not quite so poppy disco. But I read something yesterday. I don't know if this is a recent thing or not, but she said something about electro pop or something.
Yeah, she was interviewed on BBC Radio 2. See, Christian, I said it right that time. Okay. She mentioned that in an interview, which would be interesting.
Mm. Electro pop mean these days? It means
I don't know.
Fever again.
Well, I hope not.
You don't like Fever then?
I'm a bit on your lane, should I say, on the thinking. And I love Light Years. Light Years was just amazing for me, beginning to end. We actually saw, I was trying to think the other day, how much have I seen her? And am I qualified to come on this? But when she opened Essential, the gay nightclub in Manchester, she did Spinning Around there, tiny venue, and we were there to see it, and it was absolutely crammed. And I think Howard Donaldson take that was somewhere near us, because I recognized him at that point. I think she did, I can't remember if she did Your Disco Needs You as well. She did two or three songs. It might have been, Better the Devil You Know or something, but she definitely did Spinning Around. I thought, this is bodes well. Yeah. And then when the album came, I was just in heaven.
And me too. I have mentioned Your Disco Needs You for a while, which is weird. When you heard that song for the first time, because when I heard it at GAY when she did the launch for the album.
Yeah.
And it was the Almighty mix that I heard. It was the version of it, which is one of Almighty's finest moments. I love that. Yeah. When I heard that song, I literally did cry, because it was everything I could ever ask for. It was one of those brilliant songs. What did you make of it? And do you understand why I love it so much?
Totally understand why you love it. There's a fan mix called, is it Saint Ken from Around Those Days?
That's the one with the disco.
That's absolutely fantastic. I love it. It's a total cheese fest, but I completely love it. I have to say, I have to take you guys up on one thing though. Butterfly. Butterfly has always been possibly my favorite song on that album. I really love Butterfly. Have you seen the live version as well, with all the boys dancing around all over the that's incredible. But Butterfly has just always been a standout track to me. I really love it.
Well, it's funny because I was watching the little YouTube thing with Mark Picciotti.
Oh yes, I need to find that. Yeah,
which is really good actually. And it made me go back to listen to it, and the 2021 is, it's actually really good. I think because it was a little bit jarring compared to the rest of the kind of fun pop disco-y stuff, it was a bit odd to me. But looking back, it was fine. But, it's a lot better than Kids.
Absolutely. It makes me laugh that every single person who's come on here hasn't said
It is Down With Kids. Hopefully Kylie and her musical director is listening, because hopefully they'll omit it from any kind of future shows.
Yeah. Should we have a hashtag Kill Kids and just put on the internet?
How many times have you seen Kylie live?
Oh, gosh. Well, I saw her on the Let's Get To It tour. She announced, I think it was Birmingham originally, which was, I think, the arena. And then a few weeks after they announced that, they announced the Manchester Apollo, which is a much smaller venue, which is where she did the Light Years tour as well a few years later. So, of course, I got tickets for that as well. So I ended up seeing Let's Get To It twice. And Pete Waterman was in the foyer. Yeah. And he was in the foyer at the Apollo when we were there. We were quite late to get there. So I got him, I rushed up to him and got him to sign my programme for the day. So that was great. Oh, that's really good. And I think I've seen, sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, sorry, I know, I'm jumping back again. You were about to explain if you like Fever or not, because you were saying that you loved Light Years.
Oh, yes.
What was your issue with Fever? It's probably the same as mine.
It's everything you said, really. Yeah. I think she went well, talking about this show, she had gone global by then. Mm-hmm. And the show was, I found, quite cold and quite distant. And I completely understand why they did it, because this was a show bringing all of the aspects of Kylie to the world now. And so they brought in all the quirky CGI, whatever it was called, that, you know, German bold italic song and all these little quirky things in there. And I completely get that. But it wasn't the Kylie that I love, really. But it was, I understand why they did it completely. But it was, yeah, I found it quite distant, quite electronic, quite robotic.
Album-wise, did you like it as a whole? Or
I did like it, not as much as Light Years, I have to say. And it's not an album that I go back to as much as Light Years. The singles, again, I think you guys have said before, have been fantastic. You know, In Your Eyes and Love at First Sight, you know, top 10, probably top 20 Kylie songs of all time. There's some albums there that are, some album tracks are there that are, you know, a bit fillerish for me and a bit throwaway. But I can see the direction she was going to, and you know, you're absolutely right in your assessment, shall we say, in the past.
And very quickly, Body Language. I mean,
are we just going to bring that up?
that must have broken your heart when you heard that one.
Totally. I thought, here we go again. She's making the albums that she wants to make rather than the albums that she should make.
Yeah.
But then Donna Summer used to do that as well. So, yeah.
You know, I think she's of an age now where she realizes what I think. But when you're in the business long enough, you kind of realize that, you know what, you can, you know, maybe keep the experimentation to a level, but you're a product. You've got to sell it to your audience, and you have to kind of give them what they want. You can throw in a few odd things, but I think ultimately, I think she knows now that she's a crowd pleaser and she needs to please.
Yeah, I think they reached the stage where they're a living legend now. Mm. I don't know, Madonna. You know, I mean, I love Madonna, but she's trying so hard to be current and whatever, and I totally understand why. And she's great for pushing at those boundaries all the time, but it doesn't work for her. I don't think, that's my personal opinion. But and so I think, yeah, I think Kylie's done it a lot more gracefully. I love the way Kylie looks now, and you know, from Golden onwards, the way she dresses is so classy. It's sexy but classy and not obvious.
Yeah, I think after Kiss Me Once, Kylie had a bit of a wake-up call. She's probably thinking, I shouldn't be singing songs like Le Sex and Sexercise at my age.
She's got a ball.
And I think now, the lack of success for that album, I think, opened her eyes now. And now we're seeing an age-appropriate pop star. And something that is quite refreshing, because Cher's still totting around in a two-piece, and Madonna's like, you know, it's really kind of great to see Kylie in this kind of stage, because she's never looked better, except in the Kiss of Life video she looked terrible, but like
she was meant to look terrible.
Oh my god, I can't believe she even walked out of the trailer looking like she's terrible.
The blonde wig.
I love the video for this.
It's funny. It's hilarious. I just don't really understand, but it is hilarious. And I saw a picture of Jessie, so with a curly wig or like a long wavy wig on, saying, oh, this is a wig. And it's hardly any different to her normal hair. So I don't know if that is a wig or not.
Yeah, look at the difference. But yeah. I love it because, Dickon, you'll think the same thing, that you come from the Joan Collins, the bitch, the stud era. So I loved it just for that, because it's kind of like, and I love the fact we see Kylie being funny. There's a bit of humor in there. As you say, the video doesn't necessarily work all the time because it's not really got a full narrative to it. There's no
That's
story.
Right.
It's not easily understood, but there's quirky bits in it that made me think it's fun.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know if she's sort of this unhinged woman that comes into this restaurant. I'm not sure. And is there sort of like lesbian tendencies or hints between her and Jesse? I love it. I think it's great. And the way on the social media, it's like, you know, our second date back at this restaurant and all this kind of stuff. It's great. Yeah. And I only discovered Jessie Ware probably about a year or so ago as well. And I heard the first single of her album a few times, and I thought, oh, this is quite good. And then I got the sort of expanded edition of What's Your Pleasure, and I love, you know, love her voice, love her style. And of course, then there's a big Donna Summer connection as well, because she did the program about the Real Lives, is it called, about Donna Summer, and talking about her inspiration or whatever. So it's all interlinked and keep coming back, you know.
Well, definitely watch their performance with Jonathan Ross, because they camp it up brilliantly. And I'm not a massive fan of the song, but when I watch it, I love the song. And it's one of those where if you see it performed, it's just really, really, really good.
I'd like a longer disco version of that song as well. I think that would benefit.
Mm. Yeah. Because that has that really authentic disco-y sound. It's got
totally.
That is like, as we said in one of our episodes, it is like the backing track in a nightclub. in the bitch, and you expect Joan Collins to be there with her nipples out somewhere. With that, yeah. The woman who played the one from Crossroads.
No, God, that's it.
No, it wasn't her breast. It was the one who played, okay, my name's Susan, I think it was, and she was the wife of David Hunter, Susan Hunter. My God, my memory's coming back.
That's incredible.
And she was in the bitch, and she was in the pool with her nipples out on the chauffeur.
Right.
There you go.
I'm glad they didn't recreate that bit.
Is the bitch one about the ending in the racehorse, the racetrack? Is that one? Or was that the stud?
The stud? I don't, well, you know what? They're both in. I need to get these Blu-rays of it because
I've got them at home. They're amazing.
I know you have. Mm. At home. I can't remember which one's which. All I remember is that they're in the pool with the chauffeur. And I remember when I was younger, I thought the chauffeur was attractive. He's not attractive. Okay. But at that point, it was a naked chest. And I was like, you know, yeah, I was discovering myself.
Literally.
Again and again and again. Until I could take no more. Shut up.
You mentioned a while ago when you're talking about different styles and what should you do next, and you talked about jazz. And I don't know if you remember, it is quite a few weeks ago, a few months ago, mm-hmm. on around the time of the White Diamond, I think she was doing some jazz and recording it, and they must have abandoned it. But if you, the DVD of the White Diamond, it was a documentary, wasn't it?
Yeah, the documentary, yeah.
There's songs in the background which are quite jazzy, and it's definitely her singing it. And there are some on the sort of the audio track of that documentary. So I think there is some jazz stuff out there that she's doing.
She talked about it, didn't she? She said that she was doing it at one point because she said
made a note to talk to you about it.
That'd be quite interesting because I would like to see an album of that. I would like to see jazz, Carly. I'd also like to see Carly do, I've mentioned before, like more mainstream grime or sort of different kind of not a whole album, but basically partnering with people like Tion Wayne or
I don't know any of those people, so I'm completely ignorant about that.
That's when she goes down the having a nervous breakdown Madonna route, where she's having a nervous breakdown in her career. That's what would happen if she did stuff like that. Kylie is correct in doing what she's doing now, staying authentic to herself. She's doing it's in her blood. She's not trying to do something ridiculous. And jazz, I can understand because she's got that really lovely voice. And when it's against a piano or something, you know, Telltale Signs. Well, Telltale Signs.
Oh, yes. I know. I love Telltale Signs.
It's a lovely song. But when she did the Prefab Sprout song, which is called If You Don't
Love Me.
Her voice against the piano. And when she did I Should Be So Lucky with the Piano.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So I can imagine her doing a lovely, in a small venue. Maybe I don't want an album. Maybe she should do like a couple of one-offs.
EP or something.
Yeah, an EP would be great.
Yeah,
I mean, we went to see Antitour when she came to Manchester, and we were quite near the front then, amazingly. It was just so different to any other kind of show that I'd seen. And she was doing all these random tracks, and I was saying to my friends, oh, God, I wanted to do it. Telltale Signs, please do Telltale Signs. And when she did it, oh, God, I was like, you're a wet, soggy mess, because I just love that song.
Yeah.
I really love it. It's so simple. And the thing when she does those ballads, like you say, and even now, you know, I mean, the three new songs that have come out, her voice is so processed. And I'm thinking, is she using it? Has she not got it anymore? Or is it the producers? And then does she not have a say? Mm-hmm. Well, actually, don't do this to my voice, because Jessie's voice sounds really quite pure and ethereal and glorious.
You're right, because that on A Second to Midnight, when I heard the vocal come in, I thought, oh my God, it startled me a little bit, because it just sounded a little bit harsh on the ear. Then it kind of settles in, but it was just the it was just very, I don't understand why they do that, because as you say, it's perfect when you hear it against more type songs.
And on the TV appearances for things like Magic and Say Something, it's so good. And Infinite Disco, you know, her voice sounds more natural on that. And it's great.
And on Intimate Disco,
leave it alone.
I was just saying, on Intimate Disco, you obviously love your disco from the 70s. And she had a lot of samples on it was Slow. And
Slow. And Love to Be Baby.
Why is that not on the Guest List album?
That is the perfect version of Slow for me. Forevermore, she needs to do that version because it works so well.
I think she will. Track. She will.
It's inspired.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Inspired. Yeah. Oh, well, Vicken, thank you so much. We could literally sit here and chat to you all day. It's been
I could like, too. It's been something so exciting.
Really, really quickly. It's literally, thank you so much for your stories, and it's such a pleasure
thank
to
you
meet
guys.
You. Thank you so much for everything.
Likewise. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
I liked him. He was very good.
Vicken was amazing, but people, if you've not seen Double Platinum with Dinah Ross and Brandy, please call in sick, drop what you're doing. It's going to be your Christmas favourite film. more so than Home Alone and Muppets Christmas Carol. You guys need to watch this film. It is amazing.
I've never seen it, so I will have to check that out at some point. In the interim, I have been looking at It's No Secret. And yeah, there is a tiny little edit that is quite weird. So yes, Kieran, you've got very good eyes. I hadn't seen that before, but it's a blink or you miss it moment. So
yeah, it's like about 40 seconds in, I think, 40 or 41 seconds in.
And she's a very good actress. In those that early scene, you know, you can see her acting promise. She plays Stroppy very well.
Well, again, thanks, Vicken, for being our Finogue. It was so great to chat to him. He's such a great guy. Well, Christian, that's it for this week. So, folks, we have 2 episodes left of the season. I know, please. There'll be helplines set up for grieving fans. But we're going to take a little bit of a break and then come back with season 3 in 2022. But yeah, 2 episodes left, so you have us for another 2 weeks. So please do get in touch at thekylesmileypodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Instagram at @thediminutivecollection.
Indeed. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thanks so much, Christian. I guess I'll see you next week.
And welcome back.
Thanks. Bye.
See you later on. Bye.